Welcome to the Naked Vibe Show. This is Kimberly Kane, and this is the Tune Your Vibes segment of the Naked Vibes podcast. So I have a couple of different things going on in this podcast, and I'll explain that a little bit here coming up. Today's show is sponsored by Rocket University with the online video course Beyond Religion, How to Pray and Get Answers. You'll find a link in the show notes on nakedvibes.com for a free video from that course to help you tune into your intuition and learn how to use it on a very practical level in your relationships, in your business, in all areas of your life. What I have for you today is an archive from a radio show that I did previously, and it has some valuable ideas and thoughts to ponder. One thing that you'll notice in this excerpt is that a few of the music pieces have been removed. The reason for that is that when I originally did it, I had the rights to broadcast those songs through the station. But I still left the references in there because they're great pieces of music, and I want you to know about them and to be able to find them and listen on your own. So anytime I reference a piece of music or use a piece, you'll be able to find the link to it in the show notes on nakedvibes.com. Here are the excerpts from the Tune Your Vibes segment of that show, where I'll be sharing all kinds of good stuff about helping you live your most authentic self. Today, I want to talk with you about truth. I read a piece from a wonderful book edited by Martin Aronson. It's called Jesus and Lao Tzu, The Parallel Sayings. He says, "The key, I believe, is that despite differing life stories and distinct cultural traditions, both of these visionary teachers were dedicated seekers of truth. They were visionary mystics and social critics whose deep understanding of people, society, and reality itself led them to express universal truths about being human in the world. As has been said of all the world's major religious traditions, many paths, one truth." That's what I want to look at a little bit today. The difference between personal subjective truth and universal truth. With that in mind, I'm going to play a song for you off of the CD that comes with Heaven the Novel. This is from Local Honey, Kelly Brown, the song Truth.
Tell me what to And that was Truth from the wonderful Kelly Brown, known as Local Honey. You can find that song on the complimentary CD that comes with Heaven the Novel.
You'll find a link for it in the show notes here on nakedvibes.com.
So take a look at that. That song called Truth. Wanting to look today at the difference between personal subjective truth and universal truth. When we take our personal subjective truth and we say this is the truth, what we're doing is putting ourselves in place of God as supreme judge. And it sets others opposite from us. Because if we have the truth, then that means someone who is perceived as different from us is in the wrong. You can always find everything you need to back you up within your system of belief, thereby strengthening your position. Positions prevent us from seeing the vastness of time and space and consciousness. Rigidly adhering to or holding our positions makes us really susceptible to experiencing a complete imbalance when our personal subjective truth is challenged by a new truth that presents itself. An example of this that is easy to understand would be the story of the medieval Christian belief in a flat earth. Now, even this story itself, however, is challenged by historians who say it's a propagation of a myth that these people were actually arguing about the size of the earth, not about whether it was flat or round. But in either case, old beliefs will eventually give way to the new through the process of evolution, cultural as well as mental and spiritual. Now, this gets into some quantum physics, and we'll talk more about that when Lynn Fabia joins me in the next hour. Christianity leads to a belief in a personal savior. Personal, that's true. And at the same time, this has led to war if others choose a different personal savior. So we're looking at personal subjective truth there. Jesus, however, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is truth as universal. Following Jesus's way, following a universal truth, is how you come to the Father. Continuing on in that verse when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he continues on and says, "And no one comes to the Father but by me." Well, from a personal subjective truth, we have to say, okay, Jesus is my Savior, and that leads me personally to God. So I have a connection to God through Jesus and only through Jesus. Well, from a personal standpoint, then when I look at a Muslim or a Hindu, oops, they're going to be wrong if I'm going to strictly adhere to my personal subjective viewpoint. I believe that Jesus's teachings, though, go far beyond this. We have to look at the universal truth that he was speaking of. When he puts himself as synonymous with truth, as a representative of universal truth, when you follow the way, his way, the way that he's led a path for us, it leads us to the Father or the Supreme Mind. So we achieve the Supreme Mind connection with this, the Father, through universal truth, through meditation. Meditation removes our barriers. That is how the universal becomes personal. Because there is often an argument about whether universal truth can actually be personal. My belief is that it can be. The universal truth fits us all. It goes above these personal belief systems that we all employ because we're human. And so to communicate and to try to understand things as we operate in this physical world, we've put systems and beliefs in place for the purpose of that operation. Universal truth, however, being so much greater than that, and which we have not completely tapped into yet, but it's nevertheless there, it becomes personal when we do tap into it through meditation. What happens is we realize that we are not separated from it at all. That universal truth fills us up. It is a part of who we are. We walk it into the world in our person, so to speak. So the universal becomes personal. Talking about what fear and stiff positions can lead us to do, making others wrong, making ourselves right in our personal truths. These positions keep us from growing. I want to play a couple of songs for you that speak to this idea. These are some of my favorite artists. I think I'll start with Toad the Wet Sprocket. This is an old song, Whatever I Fear.
This song has been removed from this podcast for copyright purposes.
Cool song,
Whatever I Fear, from Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I know you'll want to hear the whole thing, so find the link to it here in the show notes on nakedvibes.com.
This song has been removed from this podcast for copyright purposes. Drive from Incubus.
Please find the link to it here in the show notes on nakedvibes.com.
Yeah, take the wheel and drive. That's Incubus. In other words, move. Trusting that universal truth will be your guide if you allow it. You'll find that I will give you some intellectual pieces, some things to chew on and to ponder. And then I'll always move that with music because I believe so strongly in the power of music to move your soul, to move your body. And when you allow the intellectual pieces that you take in to then just rumble around in there and to listen to some music, move a little bit, get up and don't think about it anymore. Know that once it goes in, it's going to rumble around in that computer of your intellect, your mind. And then when you allow yourself to stop and have some fun and get up and shake it a little bit, oh yeah, you'll find that these things move into you and become a part of you so much easier. Because when you allow yourself to move to music, you're letting go of the resistance to new thoughts and new ideas, and your spirit knows what to do with them. Your mind may still have a block, but your spirit knows exactly what to do with new ideas. So that's what we'll always do here, is look at an intellectual piece and then move it into the body and let the spirit do its work. As an intuitive guide, I have the opportunity to see the truth of a person's spirit, what it wants to speak to them, and the ways that they may be blocking or denying this truth. And what I see most often is that people are much more powerful than they're willing to give themselves credit for or to even recognize. I know a beautiful young woman who manifests one ailment after another. She was told early in her life and often that the reason for her difficulties was due to her premature birth and some of the consequences of that. Now, while there is truth to the story of those difficulties, the strict adherence to the story has become the story of her life. Every tick and twitch is a sign of something wrong that needs to be treated or fixed. And I guarantee you, you can always find a doctor willing to diagnose and prescribe. Understand that I'm not dissing doctors. I started school in pre-med myself. I love medicine. I love science. And we need our doctors. We need our healers. I'm speaking of this in a way of looking at health as one particular paradigm, and that is through the eyes of symptoms, that we look at a symptom and there's always a treatment for that symptom, but we're covering up a deeper truth. So at some point, if the greater universal truth of who you are is not addressed, life becomes a drama, much like a long, slow drowning. I want to challenge you to look at your truths, your personal subjective truths, to make a list of anything and everything that you hold true and dear in one column. And do this with compassion and be gentle with yourself, because this can be a little bit traumatic. Remember that your ego is what is fragile, but your spirit is bold. Your spirit can handle it because your spirit is connected to universal truth. It is part and parcel of universal truth. Don't ever forget that. So in this first column, you make this list of anything and everything you hold to be true and dear. In the second column, you look at each one of those and say, what would happen if this were not true? What would happen if there's a different perspective on this that might be closer to universal truth? So you're just going to look at these. This is my belief system. What would happen if my belief system were not true? Then what? Pay attention to the emotions that come up from doing an exercise like this. Do you feel fear, dread, or worry? Don't let these emotions be a barrier to suppress the truth. These emotions are actually a signal that you're alive. They're the signals of your spirit calling you to grow. That can be very exciting. Instead of looking at it in a way of fear, let the emotions stir you. Let it tell you, I am alive. I'm going to see where my spirit, as connected to God's spirit, will lead me if I just allow this to happen. I'm going to play some more music to let that sink in.
My eyes are open wide. By the way, I made it through the day.
This song has been removed from this podcast for copyright purposes. Second Chance by Shinedown.
Please find the link to it here in the show notes on nakedvibes.com.
Sometimes goodbye is a second chance.
Naked Vibes Show. Tune your vibes.
All right, back with Kimberly Kane. I want to prepare you to do a meditation. So if you're at a place where you can do that, where you can spend a few minutes, 5 or 6 minutes just for yourself, I highly recommend it, because meditation is the place where you will find your link to universal truth and how you fit into that, how you are in fact a part of the highest truth and how it is a part of you. I've got two great songs that I'm going to use today from a band. It's not so much a band as a composer known as Era, E-R-A. These are two great songs because, with the exception of a few words in English, the rest of the words, they sound like Greek or Latin, but they're actually made up. He uses made up words in order to convey and invoke emotion. It's the syllables and the sounds of the voices that are used to invoke this emotion. It's very human. I want you to tap into the stirring of the truth within the music. It's a very high vibration. Truth actually has a sound. It has a ring to it. It's at once peaceful and extremely powerful in ways you may have only experienced just slightly in the past. As you prepare, ask yourself these questions. How important is the truth to you? Are you willing to let go of old, worn-out beliefs and ways of being that don't serve you any longer in order to allow the energy of the truth to speak to you? No matter what your experiences in the past, no matter what your belief systems, you can know the truth in the here and now. You must be willing to allow yourself to temporarily let go of all beliefs. Allow your higher self, allow God, allow the universe, consciousness, to speak directly to you. Your discomfort with this, if you experience that, is just your resistance to the truth. Sit comfortably. with your feet on the floor. Dim any lights if you can, and begin to breathe deeply from your belly and into your belly. Let it out slowly and audibly. Hearing this life force moving in and out of your body, imagine that you're surrounded by loving spirit guides whose only goal is to connect you to the truth of who you are, to God's highest truth, to protect and guide you on your life journey, and to help you open to divine love. Do not judge anything that comes up. Just let it float gently by, like a movie. You're just an observer. Now listen in spirit to Era.
This song has been removed from this podcast for copyright purposes. Cathar Rhythm and Amino by Era.
Please find the link here in the show notes on nakedvibes.com.
The sounds of Era. Breathe and bring your attention back into the room. If you will allow it, what you will find in meditation is a profound peace and a love that knows no bounds waiting for you. This is universal truth. As the visionary master healer teacher that we're working with today, Jesus said, the truth will make you free. And it truly will. As an intuitive guide, reader, shaman, medium,
certified high performance coach,
these are the ways that I guide people for the purpose of empowering you to move into the truth of your spirit.
You know, I've talked a lot in this podcast about the power of music as a meditational tool. Not everybody can quiet their mind. It can be very difficult, especially if you're a beginner, but even if you've been meditating for a long time, there's just some times where you cannot quiet your mind. And the beauty of music is that it can help focus your mind so that you don't have to work so hard at clearing the mind. You just simply use the music to create a focus, and then that takes you out of anxiety and worry and ruminating over thoughts that aren't getting you anywhere. One of the coolest methods that I've learned to help me with my meditation is the use of drums. I'm a Remo Drums Health Rhythms facilitator, and it is truly amazing the scientific research that Remo Drums has done to measure the ways that drumming heals people on a biological level. So more about that in another podcast. For now, I want to provide you with some tools that you can use immediately to help you meditate, to help you shift your energy, to help you find your highest state of excellence. I created some movement meditations, and I've used these with my coaching clients and seen some amazing and fun results. So one of my clients actually got a job after using these movement meditations because he said he felt so powerful, so clear about who he really is and what he has to offer. And this is after being out of work for a couple of years. So that was a result that I certainly wasn't expecting, but it did show me the power of using movement to meditate, using the power of drumming and music to help people tap into their core, to their essence. And really, this is about your primal power, your real essence as a human being, and the way that your sexuality connects to your spirituality, that most potent combination that is within you. I had another client who entered into a new relationship, which was completely different than any that she'd ever had before. And she credited the use use of these meditations as well. So I really want you to have access to these, and I want you to be able to see in these people's own words how they affected them. So I certainly can't tell you that you'll get a new job or that you'll get a new relationship by using these, but what I can tell you is that if you really spend time tapping into your highest level of excellence and using tools that help you do that, you're going to move your own energy and shift your own life. I'm just giving you tools to help you do that. So you'll find a link on nakedvibes.com for these movement meditations and for the videos to see what these people had to say. If you're looking to get some clarity and shift energy in your own life to really empower yourself, then take action right now and go to the link on nakedvibes.com and get these movement meditations. Then let me know how they work for you. But one thing I will tell you, listen to them on good speakers because you need to hear the low end. The low end is really important. All the vibrations within music are important. And when you start listening to it on little tiny speakers where you can't really feel that low end, it's all about the feeling. It's about a vibration that moves your body. So be sure that you're listening on good speakers or good headphones.
To switch gears for a minute, you'll notice that the Naked Vibes show has all kinds of different things going on. You'll hear a little bit about God, and then you may hear a little bit about sex, a little bit about money, things that in our culture don't always seem to mix so easily. And that's because
the intention of the Naked Vibes show is to raise awareness of our wholeness.
These things really do go together. They're not separated. So raising awareness of our wholeness while also entertaining, because I believe, like I said earlier, in the idea that we look at a deep intellectual piece and then we go to some entertainment to relax our mind and let our spirits absorb that, because our spirit knows what to do with the intellectual information if we just get our egos out of the way. My novel, Heaven, is about the nature of God as seen through the eyes of Eve, an exotic dancer. Eve questions the accepted religious norms, counsels fellow dancers, and revels in the freedom of her body as connected to the power of her spirit. She often sees herself as a light in a dark world. Heaven is a fictional story, yet it contains much non-fictional information about the ideas of reuniting the perceived separation of spirituality and sexuality that tends to dominate our Western culture. I've done some readings for you each week, and in a previous show, I read a scene for you in which Eve had just done a lap dance for a Catholic priest who'd shown up at the club, confused and searching for answers. Really, what he was wanting to do was to run from God, as the subjective truths he had been aligned with were changing and causing a great deal of stress and upheaval for him in his soul. Now, in the following excerpt, the Catholic has returned and Eve has just finished a stage show. He's intrigued with her, and he wants to connect. So this is from chapter 15, The Catholic's Back, part 2. "Hey, Carly." "Hey," she says, looking out from under her purple and black bangs. "What can I get y'all?" I'll have a tall, skinny latte with a shot of cinnamon," I say, licking my lips. "I knew that. And how about you, sir?" she asks Paul. "Just a cup of strong black coffee for me, please," he says, pulling change from his pocket. "Oh, and a piece of that pound cake." He's nodding again. Does he always do that to reassure himself, or is it just out of sheer nervousness about his unfamiliar situation? "I'll bring it out to you," Carly says. "Thanks, sweetie." I spy a comfortable spot and say to Paul, "Let's sit over there in the corner." "That's good, yeah," Paul confirms. We settle into the cushy velvet high-backed chairs, Paul in the purple one and I in the red. I can hear the sound of the latte machine at work. I love that foam sound. It's the same sound made by that pink bath foam I sprayed from the can as a little girl. It was the consistency of thick shaving cream and the color of bubble gum. Mom had to watch me or I'd use the whole can in one bath. It was fun to push the plastic stem sideways and watch the pink foam swirl out and around in my hand while making that low-pitched swooshing that defines the foam sound. "So, Paul, what's your story?" I get right to the point. Why mess with idle chit-chat? I don't know this guy, and this isn't a date. He needs something that he thinks I might be able to give, and I am certainly intrigued. The lure of a possible discourse on deep spiritual matters is what brought me here. I don't know where to begin, he says. I have so much going on inside of me right now, and it's all very confusing. I know, I can see that, I say. Is it that obvious? Well, the first time you came to the club, you told me you were a fallen Catholic soul on a descent into hell. That's pretty clear as far as conflict goes. I laugh a little, not meaning to mock him, but to say, I understand. Oh, wow. I must have been pretty drunk, he says, laughing at himself. I smile in acknowledgement. Another state I'm not accustomed to, he admits. It didn't take much. Maybe I had a couple of beers. Carly appears out of thin air with our coffee and disappears as quickly. She's used to her customer's desire for privacy. I'm really in a different world altogether here. I don't run into that many people with nose rings, pierced tongues, and tattoos, he says, referring to Carly. That's my everyday, I laugh. That's what I mean, he says. I'm very displaced in this world, and you're so comfortable. This world? Does that mean this neighborhood or this earthly world? I ask. Good question. Maybe both, he answers. Most of the people I know would never come into this neighborhood. They say it's dangerous and give descriptions of people like Carly as the proprietors of that danger. She seems very sweet, though weird. She is very sweet. And weird? I guess that depends on your definition of normal. Yeah, right. Paul laughs and takes a moment to consider while sampling his pound cake. I sip my latte and breathe deeply, savoring my favorite aroma. I walk down the coffee aisle at the grocery store just to smell the aroma sometimes. It is, without a doubt, one of the most sensuous of smells. Do you believe in sin, Eve? Oh, okay. He's got a loaded gun pointed right at me now. I don't get a sense of judgment or self-righteousness coming from him, though. I think he's questioning his own beliefs and reaching out to the ends of the earth in his search. The sky is looking for you, God, because you've sparked a fire in him, and you've brought him here to me. What do you want me to say to him? I hear the familiar voice telling me to be myself, to be honest, and let divinity take care of the rest. Well, Paul, that's another question of definitions, I say. I don't care for the term sin because of the way it's been defined by modern fundamentalist Christianity and, pardon me, the Catholic Church, among others. My definition may be very different from others you've heard. Let me hear your definition, he implores. I tend to define certain states of being as opposed to right and wrong action as defined by rules. I prefer to look at life situations in terms of awareness. Anything that separates a person from God or from that person's true being puts that person in a state of unawareness or unconsciousness. That is not a state in which I desire to live, I answer, looking right into his eyes. Some would call that state of being sin. So you don't think I've sinned by coming to the club and watching you dance? I don't know, Paul. I think you're the only one who can answer that. I sip my latte and watch his face. I can see the wheels turning in his mind. And you don't think you're a sinner because you're a stripper? Again, I don't feel judged, just searched. No, I don't, I answer. I sometimes experience separation from my true being, from God's presence within me. In other words, I can forget who I really am and act out of an ego-based state that separates me from higher consciousness. Generally, I feel the presence of the divine when I dance, though, not separation. That's part of my confusion. When I watched you dance, I saw a possession in you, but it wasn't what I was expecting, Paul says. You came to the club to run from your religion, didn't you? You figured it would be a better place to wallow in sin for a while, I say, with a knowing half smile. Yeah. But when I watched you, I saw something different. Now I'm confused. And that's not what I wanted, not what I was looking for. I laugh. God has other plans for you, Paul. You'll find the presence in the most unexpected places. He smiles as he lifts his cup for a sip of coffee. In my world, your words would be considered blasphemy, he says. But I hear a strange and comforting ring of truth in them. I just can't determine if that's the voice of God or the voice of Satan in my head. What is God, Paul, if not the ring of truth? God is truth in its entirety. Each of us is instilled with a portion of that complete truth. It's funny how some people think they know the whole truth. At that point, they stop asking for revelation of divine truth. I think God sent you here to find another piece of the truth. That's not an easy bite for me to take, Eve. I know. Keep coming to see me, and soon enough, you'll give in to my temptation, I joke. Seriously, I understand how strange your feelings must be right now. Maybe it will help you to know that, in relation to your world of understanding, sin ultimately has no power over you. God is within you, Paul. Have confidence in that, and allow it to lead you on your life's journey. It's a bit scary, he says, clasping his coffee cup with both hands. It seems an attempt to hold on to the warmth or to anything familiar. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, I whisper. Ha! He laughs, surprised and delighted at the familiar in his strange new circumstance. Yes, he says under his breath. I leave Paul sitting in the plush purple chair to sip and to ponder on his own. After all, each of us is finally alone with our Creator on the journey. Each journey is different, and though other humans can be guides to us, no other human can ultimately join us. I'd like to see him again, and I know I will. Here's a cut from the CD that comes with the book. This is called Exposed.
Bow down, bow down, bow down.
That's From Heaven, the novel. And this has been the Tune Your Vibes segment of this show. This show is sponsored by Rocket U with the online video course Beyond Religion, How to Pray and Get Answers. You'll find a link in the show notes on nakedvibes.com for a free video on how to better understand your intuition and tune your vibe so that you can use it in a very practical way. You have the freedom to be naked and unashamed about who you truly are. Stand in the truth, love big, and you are aligned with the greatest power in the universe. I'm Kimberly Kane, and this is Naked Vibes.